sermon series. A come sermon series and come and learn. And we've been in this for the last few months. We'll be most probably closing off next Sunday. And we've been looking at just the heart of Jesus and how did Jesus overcome. And you can keep going through here. It's how did Jesus overcome burnout and not being burnt out himself. And there's a certain cycle that Jesus himself lived through and lived by. And as followers of Jesus, we need to find out what that cycle is and how do we sort of fit into that cycle. And as you'll see on the screen, this is a cycle of grace. And we have looked at acceptance. It's so important that you are accepted by Jesus and that you are feeling that acceptance, not for your own glory, but you're seeing how much Jesus loved you because Jesus created love and he's showing you how much he loves you. Then you need to sustain that. So it's not just a matter of believing in Jesus. Oh man, I'm just accepted, therefore I'm going to walk away from all of this. I'm accepted by God. Not at all. You need to sustain your heart and that you're feeding your heart and that you're changing what's inside of you. Because remember, we've also got sin that needs to be pushed out as you're pushing more of Jesus in. And that is practicing the practices of Jesus, of prayer, all these beautiful things, of fasting, fellowship, one another. And this morning we're going to be looking at significance. During a day, you must probably living out all of these. So it's not as if you're just parking on the one. Once I'm accepted, then I'm going to the next one. No, a mature person is living out all of these in a day. You're living it out without even realizing it because you're sustaining your soul in the morning and you're walking in the presence of God. And your inputs need to be greater than your outputs. And you can ask any engineer, and we've got an engineer in the front row who's also a teacher of God. And your inputs have to be greater than your outputs. Your bank account needs to work the same way. Don't go into overdraft because it's not your overdraft. And that's what they want you to do. Don't go there. And so this is just the cycle of life. But what is significance? And this is an interesting word. Significance is a growing awareness that God has called you. It's that growing awareness that God has gifted you. That God wants to use your life for his purposes. And that's what significance is. Have you ever asked yourself the question, why am I here? Actually, let me put my family aside. Let me put all of these things. Why am I actually on planet Earth? And I'm sure at times we've all asked that question. Why am I here? And God's got that answer for you because you are significant in the eyes of God. You've got a calling, you are gifted, and God wants your life to bring him glory. This is not about fame. It's not about recognition. It's not about ego. It's not about what you've achieved. It's not about how people regard you. It's about the purposes of God that he's got for you. And that's what significance is. And so from a scriptural foundation, let's have a look at a couple of scriptures here to put down the roots, and then we've got a solid foundation as we speak about the cycle of grace and we're speaking about significance, because significance is an output when you understand what significance truly is. And you are created with purpose and for purpose. You are created with that. And right in the beginning in Genesis 1, 26 to 27, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all wild animals, and over all creatures that move on the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female he created them. The image of God, the imago Deo, the Latin word for image of God. Humanity is unique. You are created in God's image and God's likeness, which is interpreted as reflecting God's character in love, in creativity, and in stewardship. And that's what it's interpreted as. Humans have this unique ability to have a relationship with God. Wow. God's given you that unique opportunity. He says, let us make mankind in our image. Notice our image. Image of God, image of the Holy Spirit, and image of Jesus. Right from the beginning, the three were there. God was even talking in that language, in the image of God. The cycle of grace profoundly reshapes our imago Deo, our image of God. The understanding of God as the ultimate lover, sustainer, purposer, and life giver, right from the beginning. And that's so important for our theology, because if we can get ourselves back to that place, well, if I'm created in this image of God, my life's not about me. My significance is about God, not about myself. And then we go on, and there are more scriptures. You're called by God personally. In Jeremiah 1 verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you're born, I set you apart, Jeremiah. And this is a tough one to understand. You mean God knew us before he formed us, before we were in the womb? How did he know that? Man, this is in AI to the next level. Like, whatever's going on there is like, whoa. God's calling is not accidental. For you, it's not accidental. In Psalm 139, it says, I know you, I know everything about you, I know what's going to come out of your mouth, I know when you're going to lie down, I know everything about you. God knows you and loves you at the same time. And if you can get that image of God right and right shape that into our minds and who you are, and that you are unique. If you just look around in this room, there's no one the same. No one remotely the same. No one even dresses the same. Your hair's not the same. Like Drew's got no hair, and some folk have got hair, you know, but that's his fashion. That's how he likes to, you know, fashion himself. You know, and it's like, it's cool. It's like, we are unique here, guys. So unique, and yet God's given us this divine purpose to follow him. Your purpose is not something you invent. It's something you discover through the Holy Spirit and by reading God's word. In Ephesians 2 verse 10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You are not random. You are designed. Your life carries intentional assignments planned by God. And what we have to train ourselves in, as you wake up and as your eyes open up, God, what is my assignment that you've got for me today? Wow. What a new way to look through that lens. If you are significant in God's eyes, what is God's assignment, or what assignment that is not complete that you can carry on today on Sunday? What is God? God's created you to do something special, to follow him with all of your heart. Significance begins when you realize God has something in mind when he made you. And if you look at that and then you go and look at the human body, in 1 Corinthians 12, and I can't go and read it all, but let's read parts of 1 Corinthians 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. But in fact, God has placed parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Its parts should have equal concern for each other. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Our physical body has many parts, not so? Like, you just look at your physical body, and we can name all the, well, not all of the parts, because I wouldn't know all the parts, but you can name the parts that you see. You know that there are parts inside that are so important to the functioning. Are not all the parts of the body significant? They are significant because God formed this. God made this. God created this. And every part is significant and plays a role with the part next to it and other parts that it can't even tangibly touch. So the body of Christ. So the church. Last year we did a sermon series on the church, the ecclesia, and one of them was the body of Christ. And so the body of Christ. You are significant. You are part of that. And that's so beautiful. When you get that right, and that it's not just through random choice that you hear this morning, but you've significantly been chosen by God and you've been obedient to get out of bed and be here this morning and be part of the fellowship. You are gifted for impact. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. So we're looking at a lot of scriptures here on significance. 1 Peter chapter 4 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Your gifts are not for you alone. They are tools for kingdom impact. And that's so beautiful. And whatever your gift is, and some of us in here are so good at serving. Like, we need to all be servants, but some are more gifted in serving. Then serve with all of your heart. Some of us are so good at encouraging. Then encourage with all of your heart. You're gifted in worship, well, then sing so that we can sing along and praise God. You're gifted in preaching, then preach the word of God. You're gifted in just smiling and being here and the warmth, then do that. And when everyone comes in and you're doing your part, like this morning, if we could have just taken a video of the church 5 minutes before it started, it was organized chaos. Beautiful. So beautiful. Children were there running around, people drinking coffee and tea and fellowshipping and whatever. Andile had to stand up 4 times, you know, and call people to order, which is not a bad thing. Because if we're all just in order, it would be not good. If we had a fellowship, we're addicted to fellowship, but then we addicted to obedience, let's start to praise God. Amen. And that's what it's about. Part of our impact is also, as we're looking at all these scriptures here, you are sent on a mission. John 20, verse 21. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Ooh, up close and personal. As the Father's sending me, Jesus is saying, I'm sending you. Every believer is sent. Significance is always tied to mission and not just to self. It's tied to an outward focused life. It's tied to the presence of God in our lives. That's what significance is. And that Jesus himself could convert the world, but part of his conversion plan was through human beings. You go out into your workplace. You go out into the world around you. You go out into the people that live in your street. You go out into the gym. You are sent to be that light. I'm really enjoying our Tuesday morning prayers. And it's incredible because the prayers are sort of shaped around the scripture that shared that morning. And generally, a lot of the prayers go into God, help us to walk this Tuesday in your presence and feel you working in our lives. Open up our eyes and our hearts so that we are in tune with you working in our lives today. And very often, we can just live this life in a mundane way. We're getting through life, not so. Hey, we all sort of, like, I'm just trying to get through the day. I'm just exhausted. I'm trying to get through the day. But there's another way. If we are significant, surely we should be praying, God, help me to see your presence. And so I prayed that for Tuesday morning, not knowing what God was going to do 45 minutes later. So the prayer ended at 6. Quarter to 7, I'm sitting on a spinning bike in the gym. And the gym instructor comes to me and says, how's your training going? I said, no, it's all right. And the gym instructor said, are you going to be riding on Sunday? There's a big race. And I said, no, I'm not going to be riding on Sunday. I'm actually will be at church and I'm going to be preaching the word of God. And she says, oh, wow. My brother is looking for a church. And I sat there. Had I not prayed to be in God's presence and to have my heart open to what God was going to do, I could have answered that thing so different. No, I'm not available on Sunday. I'm not going to write. But God, through his power, put those words in my mouth. It's not through me. It's through God. Tuesday morning, I was praying a similar prayer with my wife. As we're feeding the birds and we're praying, and I said, God, help me this Wednesday to walk in your presence. No jokes, 30 minutes later, someone sends me a WhatsApp. Someone that I don't know very well who's not in the church. And it's like, I need your help. I said, sure, I can jump in my car now and help you. And I drove across to the person's home and helped them. And in that conversation, we started talking about church. And I said, we've got this special service on the 10th of May. Would you like to come with your wife and your children? And the person said, I'd love to. Now, that's not me. It's not me at all. But it's God is doing something that we cannot do, but we need to be praying those prayers. God, help me to live for you and be significant in you and recognize those things. And when you're recognizing it, you're giving him glory. Like, God, this is like, wow. And something else happened on Thursday, but then it stopped happening on Friday. You know, but it's like God is working and moving, but our lives are significant for him. It's walking in and walking in step with him. What is the difference between success and significance? What is the difference between success and significance? And he has an illustration. And this might be helpful. Success is about how far have I climbed? Or how far can I climb? Significance is about who have I lifted? And who have I helped? And that's like the heart that God wants us to have. It's not about ourselves. What have I achieved? Because that's a cycle of works. And as we see up on the screen here, the cycle of works is anti-clockwise. And it starts off with performance. I'm yet to find a firm that you work for that is not generated by performance. And I suppose it has to be because it has to pay your salary. So it's performance, that's the world that you live in. Your life starts off with output. And you're performing. And your significance comes from your performance. The cycle of works. You're never at a stage where it's good enough. You have to keep sustaining that performance. What are people going to think? What's this going to happen in my life? If I'm not recognized at this place or at this stage, what's going to happen? And you accept it in life through your performance. And everyone goes quite quiet at this point. Like very quiet. Because this is quite significant to our lives. This is quite the cycle of the world that we live in. And now we're trying to live in the cycle of grace. And Jesus lived, the world that he was in was this cycle around him. People thought he was great when he could provide miracles. But people became very fickle and pointed fingers at him and persecuted him when things changed very fast. Think about it. Would you still be liked? Would you still be approved? Would you still be accepted if you were not producing what your company wanted you to produce and you were going through a stage where you just couldn't produce it for 6 months? What would the environment be towards you? And I'll leave that with you. And significance needs to come from God and for God. Significance is something deeply compelling that you're living for. That your life is that of Jesus Christ, even in the cycle of works that we live in. But people can see something different in you. As you're trying to absorb that pressure at work and that stress at work and people against you at work and the environment at work, they're seeing something different in you because you're living from being accepted by Jesus Christ with who you are. And you cannot change the cycle of works. I cannot. And we're not here to change it. We had to live in it through the cycle of grace. And that our lives are fruitful for Jesus and significant because of that. Why discovering your calling is so important? And that's a question that you may be asking this morning is, why is it so important for me to discover my calling? And the first thing that I can think about, it brings clarity to life. It really does bring clarity to life. When you discover something that is far greater than you, which is Jesus, it helps us to not drift. It helps us to not compare in life. And it helps us to not chase the wrong things in life. Proverbs speaks about where there is vision, where there's no vision, the people perish. Where there's no vision, the people will perish. Where there's no spiritual vision in your life, the people, we will perish. If we're not being called to something, through this whole series, I'm calling you to come and learn from Jesus. I'm helping you to try and change my chain, changing me and changing you through live by the cycle of grace. This is the answer that God's calling us to. Because our calling will anchor our lives more and more into Jesus. The second point is, it fuels passion and perseverance. When you know your calling, you can endure hard times. And there's so many scriptures on this. Whoa, perseverance. Endurance. The marathon runner. The hard times. You will endure hard times. And you will stick with it. And you will be present. Even though you're going through incredibly challenging times, whether it's emotionally or spiritually or physically in your life, you will stick with it. You will stay faithful to Him. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." He says, "Woe to me if I don't persevere in something that is fueling my life. Woe to me if I don't keep preaching the gospel." And imagine if we're waking up in the morning, it's like, woe to me, God, if I'm not preaching the gospel today. And the gospel's being preached through my life, through my example, through who I am. Woe to me if I'm not preaching that. The third point is, it aligns your life with God's kingdom. And this is so beautiful. It aligns your life with the kingdom of God. Jesus lived with absolute clarity. In Luke 2:49, it says, "I must be about my Father's business." My Father's business. Your life aligned with the purposes of God is what God wants from our lives. And it's just aligning that continuously with the purposes of God, not the preferences that we want in our lives. Imagine also waking up, and that's why Scripture is so important. Scriptures have to be planted on our hearts. God, what is your business for me today? I'm in your business. Yes, I'm working out there in this firm, but I'm in your business today in the company that I'm working for. You've put me there. For a specific reason, you've put me there. And I want my light to shine for you. And you see, that just changes our whole mindset. Following Jesus is not just about arriving at church on a Sunday. Yes, we need to be at church to worship God together. Following Jesus is not just waking up and having a quiet time and then forgetting about Him. Following Jesus is about being in His business through the day, through the week. While we're working wherever God's put us to work, and we're preaching about the cycle of grace. It leads to eternal impact. In Matthew 6, verse 20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's eternal impact. My time on earth is not about myself. It's not about who I am. the impact that I have. And I totally believe what Jesus said here on the Sermon on the Mount, eternal impact. And I keep my eyes fixed on Him. Significance is not temporary. It echoes in eternity. And that's the life that Jesus is calling you and I to live. And so maybe you're sitting here this morning, well, this is all good. But what are some practical ways in discovering my calling? And that's a good question to ask. What are some practical ways to discover my calling? Pay attention to your burden. And what I mean by this, what breaks your heart? Do people break your heart when you see them in suffering? Does injustice break your heart? Does discipleship break your heart? When you're like, there's such a lack of discipleship in this world. Following Jesus the way that He wants us to. Does the lost break your heart? Jesus, I'm feeling that passion for the lost. People need this. They need to get right with you. Your burden often points to your calling. Identify your gifts. You see, guys, in a sermon, I could have, these are sermons upon sermons. If you know what I mean. There could be tons of scriptures. You go and fill in the scriptures here. There's not time in 40 minutes to put it all there. I'm giving you something to hopefully walk away with. And if you need these notes, I can send you the notes. And I can actually send you my notes that have got scriptures in. Identify your gift. What are you good at? What do others often affirm in you? Romans 12:6 says, we have different gifts. What are things that people often affirm in you? Not in a prideful way, but in a way like, okay, that's come up a few times. Let me take that to God, chat to God about that, chat to more spiritual folk about that, and maybe that's my calling. And that's where I'm going to put my energy in for Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Are you with me, church? Amen. The third point is, look at where God is already using you. Luke 16:10. Whoever can be trusted in very little things, God adds more. We know how that scripture goes. Look at where God is already using you. God often reveals your faithfulness in the way that you are already serving. And build on that for the kingdom of God. The fourth point is, listen to God in prayer. And it's so important that as we are trying to discern what our calling is and where God wants to put our energy. In John 10:27, Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. My sheep listen to my voice. Discerning in your relationship with Jesus and sitting and listening to Jesus as to what your calling is. I think this, I'm going to listen to my Father's voice. And my Father will talk to me through those around me that are spiritual, through the Word of God, through promptings, through prayer, through chatting to Him. My Father will talk to me. And the fifth point is, seek wise counsel. Proverbs 11:14. Victory is often found through many advisors. And that's why it's so important to have people that are talking into our lives. And you're going to find your calling. And you're going to hold on to that, and that's going to give you energy. But don't we want a church where there's more energy? There's more passion? There's more folk running around doing God's work? And that we're helping each other and encouraging each other and hugging each other and keep going. You're doing a great job. That's what we want in God's church. And we can have that more and more in God's church as we're all trying to lean into this. And we're looking through a lens of godly significance. But there's a warning I give you this morning. And there's a warning of misunderstanding significance. Be careful that significance can be distorted. Where you're after a platform and not the purpose of God. And sometimes you may not even know that inside your own heart. It may not even be obvious. There are things that are obvious and things that aren't obvious. That there's recognition over obedience. That you're wanting to be recognized, but you're shallow on obedience of God's word. And that's also something that we have to just be aware of. Ambition over surrender. Totally surrendering our lives to God. True significance looks more like a hidden faithfulness. Someone who's walking in obedience with God. Someone who serves sacrificially without recognition behind the scenes. And as we are walking through all of this, it is important to be aware of these things. It's so easy to think, and I can fall in this trap myself. It's only a good sermon when people come and uplift you for the sermon. Or I wonder what people thought of that. Or I wonder what impact it made. And yes, those aren't bad questions to ask, but those things are insignificant compared to what God can do and use through his word being preached. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Mark 10:45. And we're learning from Jesus. We're learning from his life. Jesus came to seek and save those that were lost. And our significance is found in following what Jesus, the way that he lived his life. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to empty himself for those around. The cross looked like failure, but it was the greatest act of significance in history. The greatest act of significance in history. And how do we bring this home? And maybe the question that you need to ask yourself is, am I living in godly significance? Where do I feel that God is nudging me today? What has God placed in my hands? Do I even see what he's placed in front of me? Who has God placed around me that can help me, that I can lean on, that can help mature me, that can help me to change and transform? Am I chasing success or living in godly significance? And maybe something that you can walk away with, significance is not about doing something great for God. It's about surrendering your life so that God can do something meaningful through you. It's not about you doing something great for God, but totally surrendering. And it's amazing that when you totally surrender and you're trying to walk in the presence of God, God then uses that or opens those blinkers on our eyes and helps us to see. And that's what I wanted to leave you with this morning, because maybe you walked in, well, what is this word significance? Yes, significance in a worldly word is an awful word because it's all about self. But when it's looked through the right lens, this is what it's about. And that's why the cycle of grace is so powerful, because it's clockwise and it's about acceptance. And you're sustaining that through your walk with God. But then your life is significant because God made you. You are so unique, but you're pouring out your life into people around you, into the kingdom of God. That's what it's about. And that's a significant life for Christ. Amen.